is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, my good friends. It's so great being with you again here at Bible Home Church. I want to start out by thanking all of those who have written to the church and let us know that you're praying and standing by us. And we, of course, very much appreciate those who have been able to help us financially to get through these days. Through God's grace and your goodness and righteousness, we've been able to continue on. And we're going to keep it up, Bible Home Church, as long as the Lord needs us here. Now, we're into our series. Today is going to be part two of Does the Bible Prophesy World War III? We're in very perilous and traumatic times now, and I'm convinced this information is in God's good timing. We need this. We need to know. It's a little scary. You read some of these things in God's Word, and you see how the Bible prophesied these things would occur, and even this great buildup of our military, and it just boggles your mind. And it would cause me even to be fearful if I didn't have Christ on my side and behind me. If he's behind you, well, you have nothing to worry about at all. And so we can rest assured no matter what our situation. I remember, you know, I'm an old Air Force guy and I retired as an Air Force officer. I mean, I remember a book. I just got in the Air Force. I was a young man of 18. I spent over 20 years in uniform, but I went to the base exchange, that's the BX they used to call it. And they had some magazines and books there, and I saw a book of great interest to me. It was entitled, God is My Co-Pilot. If I can remember, it was about an Air Force pilot in the Korean War. And he was able to shoot down a number of MiG communist aircraft. But I read that book with great interest, not because I was so much an aerospace buff, but because I saw that it had a spiritual message with great meaning. God is my co-pilot. He said every time he flew in his plane, he felt that he had a co-pilot, and that co-pilot was God. And, you know, I looked at that, and some years later I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, it's he meant well, but I think God is more than a co-pilot. He is the master pilot, and we're just there assisting him. And the thing to do is to say, Lord, where are we going to go next? You're the navigator. You're the pilot. I'm just your assistant on this flight. I'm like the airline attendant. I'll do anything you tell me to. But I believe that that gentleman, you know, he was trying to say the right thing there, and I give him great credit. Maybe some of you have read that wonderful old book, God is My Co-Pilot. Had good intentions. Well, here we are. We're going to have a song. This is old-fashioned music. You know, a lot of people write to me and they say, we appreciate the old-fashioned music. I call it beautiful music, but it's old-fashioned music too. I'll admit that. I really will. I love updated movie too, music too. If you have some gospel albums that are soft, melodious, and have a biblical message or, you know, something of righteousness, and you'd like me to have them, I'd like to have them. Maybe Southern Gospel Quartets or, you know, just beautiful music. Stuff that makes you want to cry, realizing the majesty and power of God's work in the world. Maybe you have some old albums like that you'd like to send to us here and give us a love gift to Bible Home Church. We'd like that. We're always looking for good music to play over the church radio program. And I can't guarantee you we'll play each and every song, so don't get mad at me. And please don't send me something and say, here, Tex, you can play this for a month and send it back to us. Because that would mean we have to catalog it and keep track of it. And then we would have to make sure it's sent back to you and pay the postage. It might cost us more for the postage than it would just to go get a new album. I don't know for sure, but please, if you can afford an album, if you have some particular wonderful music that just touched your heart, it can be new praise songs or old gospel hymns. It doesn't matter. We'd like to hear from that, especially on CDs. Now, we can also have tape, you know, the cassette tape. But CDs would be good. But if you have cassette tapes, that'll be fine, too. Maybe you have a capability with your computer to burn some. Well, no, I guess that wouldn't be quite right. It's just take people's. Okay, we don't want to encourage you to do anything that's illegal or whatever. I don't know how that works now with these MP3 players on the computer. I'm not going to encourage that. I'm just saying, if you have some music and that you'd like to hear played on the radio, of course, we're going to listen to it first and make sure it's suitable. But I know many of you are very wise in that area. We'd like to hear from you. But this is the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. The name of this song is He's All I Ever Need. You know, even in time of great peril and misfortune, they call it, although I don't really believe in fortune at all, because God has a destiny and everything is planned in advance. So there's no such thing as good luck or bad luck. No, there's not. Everything is planned when you're a Christian. But whenever bad times come, just remember, He's all I ever need. Here's the Blackwood Brothers, and then we're going to continue our series, Does the Bible Prophesy World War III? Today is part two. I'm Pastor Tex Mars. Now to the music.
I don't need the things of this old world anymore. All at once to me, they've lost their glow. When I knelt in prayer and He came in and washed my sins away, that's when all my worldly pleasures had to go. For He's all I'll ever need to make it through this world. He's the one true friend that's never let me down. For He filled the longing that I had down deep inside my heart, took my feet and placed them on solid ground. Now I'm headed for a city somewhere just around the bend, and each step I take is sweeter as I go. Just a few more days to labor with Him walking. I know, for He's all I'll ever need to make it through this world. He's the one true friend that's never let me down. For He filled the longing that I had down deep inside my heart, took my feet and placed them on the solid ground.
There are a lot of things going on. There's dangers now that China may attack from North Korea into South Korea once again. That China will attack Formosa or Taiwan in an attempt to take the Taiwan Straits back into the Chinese mainland and to overcome nationalist China. They're threatening to do that, and now they have the missile technology and the naval power. Israel, by the way, has 3 nuclear submarines. I mean, nuclear-tipped missile submarines that we've given them, patrolling the ocean waters there off the coast. And again, we see danger ahead. A revitalized Germany now, united. Are they going to be kept down for long? A lot of people think that war has been superseded by global peace, but not so. The Bible says that will not happen. There will not be peace until Jesus returns. Jesus in Matthew 24 said there will be wars and rumors of wars all the way to the end, until the gospel is preached to all the nations of the world, and then the end will come. Think of that. Wars and rumors of wars all the way to the end. In fact, he said in the last days there would be great war and catastrophe, so much death that if Christ did not return, no flesh, in other words, no human life would even be spared. Wow. Is there going to be a World War III? Yes. Does that mean we Christians want to have war? No. But I'll tell you what I want. I want God's will. Do you? I think you do. I know you do. And that's why we have to look at the possibility. And when we do, we see it will occur. The amazing thing is Christians can know these things in advance. Now, there's a reason for a war. And a lot of people don't understand. Why would God allow the bloodshed and carnage and damage and horrors of a world war to occur? Let me explain something to you, my friend. God has allowed men to have a certain measure of free will. And listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, about the attitude and the hearts and souls of men in the last days, which is what we're in, I'm convinced. Listen to this. He says, "For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." That means gay. They won't love anybody but themselves. They'll love, men will love men and women, women. They won't have any natural affection, not even love their parents. They'll be, he goes on to say, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means undisciplined, uncontrollable. He says, fierce, despisers of those that are good. My friends, they'll be covetous. They'll want what other people have, and they'll take it. They'll even kill for it. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Wow. Undisciplined or incontinent. Fierce. And they will despise those that are good. If you attempt to be righteous and follow God, you will be hated by this world. If you get in the 10 most admired list of the world like Billy Graham and the others, you better forget it. You're not on God's side, because the Bible says that in the last days men shall be lovers of themselves and despisers of those that are good. That's why we have war, isn't it? That's why we have war. Don't blame it on God. Blame it on men led by devils. Listen to what Apostle James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He said, he answered the question, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. See, Hitler lusted for what he didn't have, power, fame, hegemony over Europe and the world. He desired to have it, but he couldn't get it. He fought and he warred, but he still didn't have it, did he? No, he had death and suffering. And anyone who seeks war and who chooses the war way, who chooses the way of killing, my friends, which is a form of lust, James said, yet ye have not. My friends, the road to happiness is going to be prevented when you seek the way of war. Yet men will do that. That's what they'll do. Because of their own lust, the lust of their flesh. See, James doesn't even blame it on the devil. He says you war in your own members, in your own flesh. Wanting things. Covetous. Yet you're never going to get them through war. You're only going to get peace and the treasures that really matter through Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you what God says. Because men are like this, because their attitudes are unjust and evil and wicked. Here's what it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 15. That Jesus is coming again to set things right. Why? Quote, "to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Do you realize, my friends, there's four ungodlies there in one verse of Scripture? That's why we have war, and that's why Jesus will come finally to bring peace and set things right. Because of the ungodly who do ungodly deeds which they commit, and they even make hard speeches which are ungodly against Him. Boy, they're doing that today. They're doing that today. Well, some people say, well, God shouldn't do that. He shouldn't bring or shouldn't allow warfare. But it says in the book of Daniel, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? You can't stop God. He has got a plan. These things are determined in advance, it says in Daniel. Determined in advance. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse until the end comes. Does it say getting better and better? That's what the charismatics tell you. Think positive, speak positive, and things will get better and better. Give your seed, which is faith. Give your seed, which is money, of course. Showing your faith to ministries, and you'll get rich, and everything will be great, and the whole world will be glorious, full of God. Oh, yeah. Paul didn't say that. He said things will get worse and worse. So when you hear one of these charismatic preachers up there saying things are getting better, better, when you hear a Robert Schiller look-alike in these non-charismatic churches saying things are going to get better and better, just say, there's a liar, there goes a liar. Things are going to get worse and worse. It's just like war. You want things, you go after them the wrong way, you think you're going to get them, and just when they get in the grasp of your hands, my friends, you're ready for a comeuppance. You're going to lose not only what you've got ill gain, but you're going to lose what you even had before that. So we see then that there will be war. Listen to Revelation 6, verse 8. It says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that set on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger. I wrote my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, for exactly this reason. I don't know when these things will happen. Some people have said, well, Tex, you wrote your book 2 years ago, Days of Hunger. It hadn't happened yet. You know, Jeremiah prophesied the fall of Jerusalem and Israel. They laughed at him. And some years went by and they said, look at this, Jeremiah. It hasn't happened yet. You're a false prophet. They laughed at him. But Jeremiah heard from God. Now, friends, Tex Mars has heard from God. I heard Revelation 6, verse 8. And I reported what I heard. A fourth part of the earth. That's over 1.5 billion people to die from sword. That's warfare. And from hunger. Because warfare brings hunger. Crops ravaged. Homes pillaged. Farming communities decimated, destroyed. No wonder it says in Revelation 6, verse 6, after the rider of the black horse holds in his hand a power of balances, John hears a voice saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. My friends, the acquisition of food is going to be a major preoccupation of man in the days of hunger that are going to be ushered in by these latter day weapons of war. Hear me again. The latter day weapons of war. And you know what? The food system will be destroyed. I believe weapons, chemical weapons, will be deployed to destroy food in the fields. Already, they've been practicing with that. You know, they go down to Mexico and they've been able to spray some of the fields of marijuana. And in South America, the fields of poppy that produces heroin. And coca that produces cocaine. And they spray these things with certain chemicals. And you smoke that marijuana, you're going to get sick, maybe die. Listen to what Ezekiel said. Did he prophesy this? Yes, he did. He envisioned a day when people will no longer be able to trust in the safety of water and food. Quote, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. Ezekiel 12, verse 18. And if you live in the city, my friends, you think you're going to escape? Oh, that's just for the farmers. Hey, you need where you think you're going to get food. Listen to what he said. He that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. That's Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 15. And I am convinced there will be very grim future ruination of water supplies by terrorists or by military forces. Again, Ezekiel 12, verse 19. People shall drink their water with astonishment because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. My friends, you're going to be astonished when you drink your water. It'll be deadly. And people are going to die from hunger. They're going to get so ravenously starved. Desperate. Did you know that you can reach a level of starvation and so desperate that some people will literally mutilate themselves? Now, this is a horrible thought. You'll want to almost turn off the radio after you listen to me, but I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. So listen closely. Isaiah says, chapter 9, verse 20, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, meaning he'll try to snatch or steal food, but people will still be hungry. And they shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. What food they do get will not be enough. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Can you imagine taking a knife or a machete and chopping off your own arm just so you can eat it and stay alive? I can't imagine. I can only say that's in the Bible. It will happen. Listen to Zechariah chapter 11, verse 9. That dieth, let it die, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. My friends, people will die, and others will say, we have no food, let us eat the flesh of those who died. You say, that could never happen. It has happened. It has happened. Aircraft have gone down, and there are recorded instances in history. There have been shipwrecks, and people ate other people. I'm not talking about some Hannibal Lecter. I don't even see those kind of trash movies. I'm talking about historically accurate events. When men are deprived of food and water and they have not the calling of God in their hearts, they will do terrible things. Then there's nuclear weapons and the prophecies in the Bible of these nuclear weapons. I had a book, and it's in my library, in fact, called Weapons of World War III, written by defense analyst William Koenig. You know, he says that if only 500 nuclear weapons are detonated, 500, that's 1% of those that are currently stockpiled. Only 1% of all the nuclear weapons that now exist are detonated. Here's what will occur. 50 million people will die instantly, and many more will die from radiation sickness, epidemics of cholera, typhus, cancer, and other diseases spawned in the aftermath of the explosion. Changes in climate will result. Many people will suffer fatal sunburns, skin diseases because of the destruction of the Earth's ozone layer and exposure to the sun's deadly ultraviolet rays. But will there be nuclear bombs exploded in World War III to come? Was that prophesied? Listen close. Listen close what it says. Zephaniah, in Zephaniah 1, verse 15, described the great day of the Lord in the last days, the latter days, as, quote, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. You know, they say that that's what nuclear attacks will look like. Clouds, thick darkness, gloominess, waste, desolation. Well, you say that's vague text. Come on, can you get any better? Oh, I can get a lot better. Listen to Isaiah chapter 25, verses 5 and verse 12. Isaiah prophesied in the latter days. Now listen to this, folks. Listen closely. This gives me chills. Cities would be totally destroyed, and I'm going to quote it, even to the dust, following a blast of, quote, heat with the shadow of a cloud. What does a nuclear bomb explosion look like? What are the effects of it? Heat with the shadow of a cloud. Now, friends, back in the days of Isaiah, they had bows and arrows. They had lances and swords. Was there any weapon in exist that could destroy cities even to the dust following a blast of heat with the shadow of a cloud? Of course not. He was talking about a future war. A future nuclear holocaust. And then there's the suddenness of nuclear strikes. Hey, it would take a long, long time to destroy cities even to the dust. And I do not know at all how there could be a heat with a shadow of a cloud. But listen to this suddenness. Isaiah 29:5 says it will be upon its victims quickly and without warning. Quote, it shall be at an instant suddenly. You can't escape. Back in those days, you see the horsemen coming. You could even see, you know, their dust kicked up. And here they're coming. And the scout in the tower would announce to the city or whatever, close the gates. Here come the marauders. But in the last days, cities will be destroyed even to the dust, and it will happen at an instant suddenly. Some years ago, I got a book simply entitled Hiroshima. It was a grotesque book, but it was a historical book. And one of America's top historians was the author. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author named John Hersey. In his book, Hiroshima, he described what happened when the first nuclear bomb was unleashed on the Japanese people. Remember that? We bombed two cities within a couple of days there, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He described the torrid after effects of the atomic blast on the hapless human victims. I want to read to you from his book. Now, John Hersey, I understand, is Jewish. He's not even Christian. His book was not written to reinforce or to document Bible prophecy. He was simply describing a historical event and the after effects of a nuclear blast on the people there, on the human victims. I want to read to you what John Hersey said would be the effect on the human victim. I'm going to read to you right from the Bible, and you tell me, you decide, my friend, whether God's Word is prophetically accurate.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on Does the Bible Prophesy World War III?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.